Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. What's cracking? This is you're tuning in to Fat Man Radio, and I am your host, Darren McDuffie. We're getting started today. I'm actually going to have my guest, Morley Robbins, on. Morley is affectionately known as the Magnesium Man, and you'll see why when we get into the conversation. But before we get into conversation, and I'm waiting again on Morley to call in so we can get him on the air, but if you have not gone and picked up my audio report, I suggest you do that. The audio report is called Between Two Thieves, How Big Food and Big Pharma Are Robbing You of Your Health. And it's an eyewitness account from me. If you don't know, I was an ex-pharmaceutical rep, so I know all the inside scoop about the pharmaceutical companies. And also I know a bit about Big Food as well. So go to naturalhealthforwellbeing.com and pick up that free report. Or you can go to my blog, which is called imthefatman.com. And it's exactly like you would say it, imthefatman.com. So you can go there and pick up the free report. The report is actually an audio report. So for those of you out there who don't like to read, I'm a big reader. I love reading. But if you don't like to read, you'd go and you'd pick up that report, and it's audio, so you can just download it to your iPod and you can listen to it while you're doing other things, which is one of the things that I really like to do instead of always having to read, is just listening to things in my car. So I'll download a lot of things to my iPod and I will listen to those things in my car. So waiting for Morley here to call in to the show so we can go ahead and get started. So I'll just keep talking until Morley calls in. But interesting thing today, I was just wondering as I was coming home today how we have lost everything to cell phones, how cell phones have taken over our lives. So I'm driving down the turnpike, and I noticed this at least one time a day that someone is driving down the turnpike and they're actually using their cell phone. They're actually texting on their cell phone. Whatever happened to people talking? I mean, no one wants to pick up their phones to talk now, but you have people that are driving down major highway, driving down the turnpike, and they are actually texting on their phones, which is to me is dangerous. And you have people who think that they can text and drive, but that's not always the case. So I don't know how cell phones begin to take over our lives, but I know a lot of people do everything by their cell phone and they're constantly checking their cell phone. And I tend to do the same thing, but I'm trying to get myself away from doing that and just be more in the moment, be talking to people and just enjoying nature and enjoying what life brings me instead of always having to check my cell phone every 5 minutes in fear that I'm missing something. And I don't know, for those of you out there whom I have an older phone now, it's kind of a dinosaur. It's a BlackBerry. And one of the things that I always enjoyed about the BlackBerry when I first got it was that I would always be able to check my email. So that's a hindrance to me now. So I'm not always wanting to check my email. And I'm really wanting to get away from that older phone, but I'm not willing to pay that $400 or $500 for these newfangled phones. So, all right. So I believe Morley is waiting in the switchboard. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Morley on, and we'll go ahead and get the show started. Hey, Morley, is that you?
I'm here, but is this a bad connection?
No, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
I can hear you fine.
It's a little warbly on this end. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I can hear you just fine on my end. So we'll go ahead and get the show started. Morley, if you want to go ahead and just give the audience, I like to just give the audience the journey. How did you come into being the Magnesium Man?
Oh, let's see. How much time do you got? No, I give the thumbnail version. I'm a pre-med retread. had designs on medical school, and my organic chemistry professor made sure that was never going to happen, and I've thanked him many times. Went into hospital management, 32 years ago, did that for 12 years, and then became a consultant, hospital consultant, for 20 years. So I spent 32 years working in the allopathic industry. And about 5 years ago, had a frozen shoulder is what really got me into wellness, and then what got me into magnesium was a frozen shoulder. And some friends who owned a health food store told me I needed to go see Dr. Liz. And I said, well, I don't do witchcraft, because I knew that meant she was a chiropractor. And they sold me some supplements, and I was in writhing pain for a couple months. And I went back, and I said, look, you must have something stronger. And the owner of the store looked me in the eye, and she said, Morley, we love you. We'll see Dr. Liz. So apparently, and she practices what's called network spinal analysis. It's a very light touch form of chiropractic that she's touching specific points on your body to retrain your body how to let go of stress patterns. Uh-huh. And she does it with a room full of clients, so like the nine people being healed at the same time. And it's a mind-blowing experience. I'm reeling from this as I walk into the room and realize that I'm not going to be alone. And she comes over and she does technique, and I'm like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe how much better I felt. And within 2 weeks, I went from not being able to lift my hand above my waist to having full rotation and mobility in my joint. It forced me to say, okay, so what don't I understand about natural healing? I stepped off the allopathic grid. I became a wellness coach. And Liz and I have now become not just professional partners, but life partners. And then a couple of years ago, I've completely reinvented myself there. I'm a completely new person. And a couple of years ago, I wrote an article because a number of our clients were banging on me to share what we were learning and write some stories. And one of the clients, who was a psychologist, said, I think it would be wise for you to use paradoxical intent. And what that is use reverse psychology. And so I went, great, I can have some fun with that. So I wrote an article entitled, Let's Fake a Heart Attack.
Huh.
And I thought, it's way too passive to have a heart attack. Let's make it. And so I made a 10-step plan. And step number 8 was, deplete your body of magnesium. And I'd read an article and I'd heard that magnesium was important, so I was just being very flippant. And I shared it with another client who was a practitioner, and she said, you know, love the article, very funny. And then she looked me in the eye. It was one of these moments of truth. And she said, but Morley, I can't help but think that magnesium isn't more important than you realize. And I went, yeah, maybe it is. So I went to Google, I Googled, and up popped Carolyn's book. And so I read her book, The Magnesium Miracle. And anyone who really wants to...
That's Carolyn Dean, right?
Carolyn Dean, absolutely.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And she's out in Hawaii. And I read the book, and Darren, it was like a murder mystery that I couldn't put down. And suddenly I realized, one of my gifts on the hospital side was helping clients fill their beds. And then I started reading Carolyn's book, and I realized, oh, my gosh, the reason why everyone's in these beds is they don't have any magnesium. And it was like this real powerful epiphany for me. It was like it became a moment of truth, and that's what spurred me on to become Magnesium Man. And, and one of my great privileges is that Carolyn Dean and I are very good friends now, and we refer cases to each other, and we talk about magnesium. And I still pinch myself and say, is this for real? I mean, did I go from obscurity to being her equal in terms of understanding this metabolic mineral? So it's been an amazing journey over the last several years. I've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. And how did you go about doing that, Morley? I know I've heard you on some podcasts myself, but can you just share with us how you went about actually becoming this expert in magnesium?
That's a great question. Actually, you know what, Darren? No one has ever asked me that question. I love that. How did I actually do it? There was a commercial many years ago by E.F. Hutton, and they said that we earn our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it the hard way. And that's what I did. I just started reading articles about it, and I was doggedly determined to figure out how important this mineral was. And one article led to another, and you know, suddenly I was reading hundreds of articles, and now I've read over 1,000, and I've really lost count. I've read 20 books. I've interviewed a dozen magnesium researchers around the country. I've talked to countless practitioners. I've attended courses. I've listened to podcasts like you have. And it's almost like it's a past life thing. Like I was, I don't know, it's like I've tapped into some knowledge base that I must have had before, because if anyone on this show were to look at my undergraduate curriculum, they would just laugh and say, gosh, this guy could barely spell magnesium, much less understand what it does. But for some reason, at this point in my life, it was like a, I'm like a heat-seeking missile, and I have an insight about what this mineral is doing inside the body that, you know, there are probably only a few hundred scientists in the world who are studying it, and I'm, for whatever reason, I seem to be tapping into that data bank and that brain trust. But one of my gifts is pattern recognition. So I can take data and I can see where the trend's going or what's the significance of this. And so I've used these articles about different enzyme pathways and suddenly stepped back from it to see the forest for the trees and began to see what's really happening in energy pathways and metabolic pathways and detox pathways that isn't really openly discussed in a lot of articles, whether it's, you know, scientific articles or articles you find on the web. Uh-huh. And it's just I keep looking for new insights and new ways to connect the dots, and that's how these I guess that's how the knowledge base is built. Like it started out as a little pea at the top of the hill, and it's become a pretty big boulder as it's been rolling down the hill, and it's gathering momentum. But it's just this collection of different sources of information that's allowed me to create this kind of this gestalt of what's going on with magnesium.
Yeah, it's very funny because when I used to be in the pharmaceutical industry, I didn't understand anything. I tell people I was greener than a blade of grass, and then when I got out of the industry and I started to just dive more into nutrition and studying and about disease and all these other things, that's when everything kind of started to come together for me. So I know exactly what you're saying. When it comes to magnesium, what makes magnesium so important for us?
Let me use an analogy, because that's always one of the first points of reference that people like to get to. So why is it so important? Here's an analogy. Most people at some point in their life have been to a symphony. And so every great orchestra hall is built on a solid foundation. You can't build a building without a good foundation. And that's magnesium in the body. But every great orchestra hall also has a gifted conductor. And that, too, is magnesium. But every great orchestra also has a wide spectrum of musicians. And those are the other minerals. And so if you've been to a symphony, just before the conductor comes out, all the musicians are practicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's it sound like?
Sounds like garbage.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of noise, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then the conductor walks out, gets on the podium, and taps their baton a couple times, three times, on the podium. And then there's silence. And then the conductor lifts the baton, and then what happens?
They get
music. Yeah. They all cue to that baton, And that's what magnesium does inside the body.
It's the regulator.
And it's hard for people.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a great analogy, and I can definitely identify with it because I used to be in band, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and the thing is that most people, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, I had heard of magnesium. I was like, yeah, well, sure, it's a mineral. And that's what we think. It's a mineral. But what I think the mistake that's being made is it's being treated as though it's a moon circling Jupiter, when in fact it's the sun. And it is the source of regulation. It is the source of timing. I mean, think about it this way. There are clock genes that regulate the circadian rhythm in our body. You know, there's a 24-hour cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those clock genes are bathed by magnesium, and they're kept in tune by magnesium. The whole process of keeping DNA, which I think we would all agree is pretty important, right?
Yeah.
Well, DNA, there are three enzymes that repair DNA problems. It's called DNA ligase 1, DNA ligase 2, and DNA ligase 3. And 1 is for nix in the helix. 2 is for a single-strand break, and 3 is for a double-strand break. And magnesium is activating those enzymes to make sure that the DNA stays healthy. And then it goes on to activate riboflavin, which is vitamin B2. And riboflavin is actually what keeps DNA regulated and doing its thing. You cannot replicate DNA without magnesium. It's impossible. You can't create energy in the body. Energy is spelled MG-ATP. Every cell of our body must have that currency in order to do its work.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you'll hear, what you'll read on every article or every internet diatribe on magnesium is, well, magnesium activates 300 enzymes. Well, actually, there's a research scientist also in Hawaii who says the number's closer to 700 to 800, and I just read an article night before last where a researcher said actually it's closer to 2,000.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
The next closest enzyme, or next closest mineral in terms of enzyme activity, is zinc, and that's at 200. So it gives you a sense of the importance of magnesium. It's tenfold more important than zinc, and most people say, wow, zinc is an amazing mineral. And so it's been the Rodney Dangerfield of the field of nutrition for probably 100 years for one reason. It does too much, and that's its curse. And it's just like I'm convinced that your former employer, the pharmaceutical industry, and the supplement industry have both been born of magnesium deficiency. Because when magnesium is allowed to be at its peak level in the human body, you don't need a lot of other support. And I know that's heretical for a lot of your listeners, but it's really that powerful when it's allowed to be in a body that's not overwhelmed with stress and is allowed to be at its peak level. It's an amazing intermediary in the human body.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of throw something at you real quick while we're talking about pharmaceuticals and my background. There are a number of drugs out there, and I know I used to sell against one drug. I believe it's Cipro, which is a real well-known antibiotic, that displace magnesium in the body. And there's a lot of them out there. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah. The best article that speaks to this is Susie Cohen. You can Google it. It's 14 classes of drugs that deplete the body of magnesium. And it comes from her book called Drug Muggers. It's a wonderful book. There actually are 15 classes. There's a whole class that she missed, and they're called statins. And they are depleting the body of magnesium, too. But what a lot of these drugs are doing, about 55% of all drugs now are activated with fluoride. I'm not sure the listeners recognize the significance of that, but that's really very bad. And my younger son, who's a he's going to put his old man to shame because he's going to do it the right way. He's getting a PhD in biochemistry from Stanford. And, you know, he's just, like, uber bright, like his siblings. But he chose to pursue a field of biochemistry. But he told me several months ago that that's really curious that they would do that. I said, why is that, Tom? He says, well, the only time we fluoride in the chemistry lab is when we want to kill enzymes. That's pretty interesting. So they're using this element that has a magnetic relationship with magnesium, and so it binds up magnesium perfectly in the body. And so, you know, so many of these different classes of drugs, most of the SSRIs, the antidepressants, the proton pump inhibitors, there's so many applications, and I think when you add up all the different drugs within the 15 classes, it's several hundred drugs, most of them brand name drugs that you would say, well, yeah, I've got that. And I was with a client today, in fact, just a few hours of medications. Were drinking the body of magnesium. And when she came to realize that, she was like, why would they do that?
I think Morley dropped off. I'm going to wait for him a second for to call back in. Live radio. So we'll see if he calls back in. So just bear with me. Had a poor connection, I believe, from the beginning. So. Yeah.
That must have been the FDA cutting me off.
Yeah, probably so.
No, but I don't know where I left you, but I was just basically saying that there's just this overwhelming number of medications that are causing this loss of magnesium. And it's something that no one talks about. It's something that seniors aren't aware of. And it's a very serious problem that unwittingly the field of medicine is using substances that I don't think they honestly know what they're doing inside the body. And maybe they do. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the reason why I say that is that my oldest son, Matt, last summer married a newly minted MD who graduated up in Chicago. And she has very limited understanding about what magnesium is doing inside the body. And it's not her fault. It was never stressed in her curriculum. She said it was never taught in the classroom and it wasn't really a topic in the clinical rounds. And I'm like, really? And it's disorienting to hear that, but that's a fact of life. And so I think it's what I've decided, you know, for better or for worse, that's the balance of my time on the planet, I'm going to be having conversations like this so I can, you know, enable other people to become aware of how important this mineral is and how central it is to their well-being. So it's a delight to be able to have this conversation with you, dear. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to throw something at you again, and I want to get you to kind of expand on this and your first thoughts. And I'm just going to say that can you expand on this statement? We live in a calcium-dominated society.
yes, we do. So how did that happen? The spotlight put on a disease or a condition, I shouldn't call it a disease, just a condition called osteoporosis. And some, again, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt, some well-meaning researchers misunderstood how the bone matrix works, and they put the spotlight on calcium and said people needed more calcium. So you say, well, that's not a problem, is it? When in fact it's a huge problem, because it's actually your question is really multifactorial, and I recognize why you asked it the way you did. Mm-hmm. Because the very nature of our society feeds on the prevalence of calcium, and I'll explain why. So there's a dynamic relationship in the body between calcium and magnesium, and they are in a constant dance with each other. And what's important is for folks to step back and recognize that there actually are four key minerals that pretty much run our body. They're called the four electrolytes, and it's calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. And I'm sure most people have heard of them, but they have no idea what they do. But what they do is provide electricity to run all 100 trillion cells of our body. And without them, there would be no life. But the interesting thing is that calcium, let me back up. There's several nervous systems in our body, and you and I are engaged in what's called conversation.
Uh-huh.
We're clipping along at about 2,000 bits per second. Well, there's another nervous system called the autonomic nervous system that runs our body. So that when you decide to have a sandwich for lunch, there are 10,000 chemical reactions that take place to metabolize that sandwich, and that's the autonomic nervous system at its finest. Well, it moves at a million times faster than the conscious mind. So we can't think that fast. And it turns out that this autonomic nervous system is composed of two branches. There's a sympathetic branch, which we recognize as fight or flight, and then there's a parasympathetic branch that's called rest and recovery. And so going back thousands of years, our ancestors lived in a parasympathetic dominant environment where there were moments of terror. A lion was chasing you, or someone wanted to steal your food or whatever. But most of the time was spent in a more peaceful setting. That's not the case today. Today we live in this hypersympathetic environment, and the natural question was, why? What happened? Well, it turns out that calcium, the mineral calcium, activates the sympathetic nervous system. And it's the sympathetic nervous system is turned off by magnesium. So if you don't have enough magnesium in your body, you're always going to be in a state of sympathetic overdrive. Now, on the flip side, it turns out that the parasympathetic nervous system is turned on by potassium. And it is neutralized by sodium.
Huh.
So when you're sick, it's really important to have a good parasympathetic nervous system so that you can rest and repair. Well, think about the American diet. It's dominated by two minerals, calcium and sodium. So what have they done? They have created a diet that keeps us on sympathetic overdrive and shuts off our parasympathetic, so we have no way to recover.
Is this why, because I know there was maybe about 2-3 years ago, I was having a lot of problems with my adrenals. I would just get tired at a certain time of day. Is magnesium important for, well, I guess I'm probably answering my own question, but maybe you can expand on it, the function of magnesium when it comes to adrenals. I know that magnesium is important for stress, but what about adrenal function?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Darren. The adrenals are, I personally think they're possibly one of the most important parts of the human anatomy because of what it controls. You know, these are walnut-sized glands that sit on top of the kidneys, So they are adrenal. They are on top of the renal gland, right, or the renal organ. And so these glands are our defense mechanism, that when we are confronted with stress or we are confronted with some toxin or we are confronted with some food that we don't recognize, the adrenal glands mobilize a response. Well, it turns out that the adrenal glands are ruled just like the entire endocrine system. It's minerals that regulate the glands. They're not regulated by hormones. They make hormones, but they're regulated by minerals. And the two minerals that regulate the adrenal glands are sodium and magnesium. And it's the ratio of sodium to magnesium that determines how strong or how resilient your adrenal glands are. And as you get into fits of high stress, the body releases magnesium and zinc and B vitamins. And you say, well, why would it do that? I mean, that's insane. But again, go back thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, depending upon your frame of reference. And when you're confronted with a mountain lion, the last thing you want in your body is relaxing minerals. Doesn't make sense. You've got a crisis. You've got to mobilize. You've got to have energy, and you have to have this incredible response to either fight that conflict or run from that conflict. And so the adrenal glands make sure that you are able to do that, and it mobilizes not just cortisol, but it's mobilizing another key stress hormone called aldosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And aldosterone's job is to hold on to sodium, because we need that inside the cell in order to deal with this crisis. But the price you pay for that is you've got to let go of zinc, magnesium, and B vitamins. And that's
right.
The quid pro quo under stress. Go ahead.
Aldosterone, isn't that important for blood pressure as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's part of the renin aldosterone activating system. And so aldosterone is, no one ever talks about it, but it's just this incredibly powerful hormone that really depletes our body of magnesium. And what happens is, if people don't know that there's a metabolic price for stress, it's magnesium loss, which you referred to just a minute ago. So whenever you're under stress, you're dumping magnesium through your sweat, through your urine, and through your feces. It's automatic. It's the way the body works. But what no one ever told us is that you need to restore it every day. And so the way I do it with clients is, the three things you've got to do every day: air, water, and magnesium. And it's that important. Because can you picture spending the day without breathing or without drinking water? No, you wouldn't do it. And that's how important magnesium is to your daily survival. And it's what allows your adrenal glands to become more resilient in the face of stress.
Could this be a reason why, I'm just going to say this, could this be a reason why people are just freaking out because they don't have enough magnesium in their body? Because there's a lot of things happening, you know, if you look over. I'm not a big news person, but when I do glance over the news, you just notice that people are just freaking out because of stress. And I'm just wondering if that there's some kind of connection, some psychological connection to that, because people don't have enough magnesium. They don't have something to kind of buffer the stress.
It's very well said. That's exactly what's happening. And I think Mark Serkis had a wonderful article about that. And in it, he gave some great examples of talking to police officers. And they're like, it was basically the things are out of control. And people are shooting each other over ridiculous things. And what happens is, as the level of magnesium drops in the body, you become hypersensitive. You overreact. And it's like you're wearing night vision binoculars. Everything becomes bigger and brighter than it really is. And this is it's an epidemic. I'm guessing it's worldwide, but it certainly is all across our country. And I've got enough clients around the world to know that it's not just in the United States, but the tragedy is people do not know why they are so agitated, and no one's telling them that if you would just drink water that had minerals in it, especially with some magnesium, you'd calm down a lot. And the thing is, like I'm 60 years old, born in 1952, and I'm the third generation of my family to be minerally deficient. My four kids, are the fourth generation. And that's what's happening in America is we're seeing an erosion in the mineral mass of, I call it Homo Americanus. Swiss cheese. No mineral body, and there's no mineral.
Marlon, he dropped off again. I don't know if he's on Skype or what, but bear with me. He'll come back on. Sometimes these computers are godsend, but sometimes they are not the best thing to be on. So I'm waiting for him to call back on. And when he calls back in, if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 646-716-9371. 646-716-9371. All right. Lost you again.
Okay. So the issue is we are Swiss cheese, eating Swiss cheese. And, uh-huh. and no one knows it. I mean, there's a great book called my mind just shut down. It's about the empty harvest. It's tragic what's happened to food in this country, and the vast majority of people are unaware, or they don't want to know how bad it is. They just soon sidestep that whole discussion.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are unaware of it, but I think the majority of people just don't want to hear about it. They don't want to know. And I did a report on this. I announced that before you came on, a report that I did, that audio report. I kind of liken our whole society to an extinction level event where, you know, we're going to be extinct like dinosaurs because we don't have the food that we're eating is overly processed, and we don't have, you know, enough real food. People aren't eating enough real food right now.
Right. I totally agree. People are afraid of fat. And you say, well, why is that important? Because if a low-fat diet was good for you, then why is two-thirds of America overweight and half of those are obese? Well, fat, that is your friend. But more importantly, what fat is, the choo-choo train that moves minerals around the body.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have good sources of fat, you can't restore mineral mass in the body. Then what they've done is demonized salt. Oh, my God, stop eating salt. And this is one of the most insidious things that I came across, is that when you deny salt in our body, what it does is it activates aldosterone, the stress hormone. And aldosterone's job, again, is to hold on to whatever salt is there and let go of the relaxing minerals. And so the low-salt diet that so many millions of people have been following for the last, God knows how many years, 25, 30 years, has been causing the hypertension that people have been experiencing.
Because that's a really... Yeah, it's a really big problem. And I imagine a lot of communities, but I know being African American, that's one of the really big problems with a lot of African Americans, is they're suffering from hypertension. And immediately I can remember my family, people would be so salt phobic, but they were really, using the wrong kind of salt. But I'm glad you touched on that.
Well, it's a huge issue in the African American community. And again, step back from it and think it through. What group of people on this planet has been more oppressed or more stressed out than African Americans? I can't think of any. I mean, it's just, and the incidence of hypertension, kidney disease, and heart disease is three times greater in that community than it is in the Caucasian community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. And it all relates to the loss of minerals, especially magnesium. And one of the great delights of my life was getting to get to interact with Gerald W. Dees, who's one of the assistant deans for SUNY Downstate Medical Center up in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know Dr. Dees, but he's an amazing icon in the African American community. He's 87 years old, and he's still working every day. And he told me what his great-grandmother taught him when she was a slave about how to deal with hypertension. And she would take a teaspoon of Epsom salt, put it in grapefruit juice, and drink it every day. And she didn't have to worry. Well, what's Epsom salt? Magnesium sulfate.
Right.
And that's when he first learned about the importance of magnesium. And he's this big magnesium lover. He's a great guy. But it's a lost concept because so many of us don't even know that this mineral exists, and we're just completely unaware of its impact on our body.
Yeah, getting into that, you mentioned heart disease, and I wanted to kind of relate that to the incident because it didn't even hit me until I came into your Facebook group and started putting things together, that Magnesium Advocacy Group, or can't remember what name is. Yeah. So
Magnesium Advocacy.
I was in my early 30s, Morley, and I awoke one night, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and went to the ER, and they put me through all kinds of tests, and they said, well, nothing was wrong with me, and I had these real bad heart palpitation. I couldn't really figure out what was going on, and it didn't hit me until maybe, looking into that Facebook group, and you posted something in that group, and I was like, man, that's it. That's what I was suffering from. I had low magnesium because I wasn't taking any supplements then. I've been in nutrition studying nutrition for 8 years, and I wasn't at that time taking any supplements. So I know I was very low on magnesium, and just out of coincidence, I had a friend on Facebook who emailed me, and he's like, I'm having heart palpitations. So I was like, you know what? You need to start supplementing with some magnesium. Can you kind of talk about that?
Sure. I mean, it's one of my passions, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where most people died of heart disease. My mom had three heart attacks. My grandmother had three heart attacks. Her father had a heart attack. His father had a heart attack. So it's like, I was like, okay, and that's the side of the family that I take after. So I'm like, I'm next. And I was very vigilant about my diet and blah, 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 but I didn't buy into the cholesterol issue. And if we have time, I can dance on that. But the key is I've seen the intersection between heart disease and magnesium, and the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, it's like, really? How come no one talks about this? The heart is a muscle. I mean, we tend to think of it as a pump, but it's actually a muscle. And it's working 24/7. And it's eating. The amount of energy that it's consuming every day is staggering. Well, what happens is the heart is, in fact, the most metabolically demanding tissue in the body. And the highest concentration of magnesium is in the ventricles of the heart. You think, well, why would our maker put all that magnesium in the ventricles of the heart? Because those are the muscles that are pushing blood either to the lungs or to the rest of our body. And again, you can't make energy and you can't expend energy unless magnesium is attached to ATP. And how does a heart attack happen? You get stressed out. You start losing magnesium. And there are dozens and dozens of enzymes that are critical to the function of the heart. And those enzymes don't work without magnesium. Enzymes like alkaline phosphatase, which is really important for keeping the heart muscle alkaline. And you can't, the alkaline phosphatase doesn't work unless magnesium is to it. And what happens if the pH starts getting too acidic in the heart? The ATP can't hold on to the magnesium anymore, and it stops working. There's an enzyme called MKK4. It would take me 15 minutes to say the word. So it's MKK4. It is the enzyme in the what's called the sinoatrial node, where the pacemaker cells are in the heart. And that enzyme is, in fact, the drumbeat of the heart. Mm-hmm. Can you guess what mineral is essential for MKK4 to work?
I would take a wild guess and say magnesium.
Ding, ding, ding. Right. So then there's another enzyme. It's actually a peptide. It's called atrial natriuretic peptide. Overwhelmed by aldosterone. Can you guess what mineral activates AMP in the heart?
Magnesium?
Yeah, and it goes on and on and on. Darren, there are like 50 enzymes like this. They just keep going on. There are three enzymes alone that regulate cholesterol. All of them are magnesium dependent.
Uh-huh.
And yet if you talk to the average cardiologist, they would look at you with blank stares, saying, what are you talking about? And in fact, I wrote an article that I showed to a very good friend of mine up in Chicago, who's a very high-profile member of a faculty of a medical school, and I showed him the article. It was about heart disease, and he read it, and we sat down at Starbucks one morning, and he said, this is really good. And he says, this deserves to be published. I said, well, it's great. I appreciate you saying that. And as he handed the article back to me, he said, but Marley, you've got to understand. He said, magnesium is no longer a popular drug. And I looked at him, and I said, this is a guy that undergrad, Harvard, medical school, Harvard, trained at Mass General. So he's like in the top 0.001% of physicians in the country. And I looked him in the eye and I said, Tom, it's not a drug. It's the mineral that runs your body. And he looked at me with disbelief. He had no idea what I was talking about. And the reason why people's heart stops working, it's usually one of three reasons. It's either because of a heart attack where the muscle locks up. So when you make a fist with your hand, and see how hard that is? So that's calcium at work. Now open your hand and relax it.
Uh-huh.
That's magnesium at work. And for the heart to work, it needs to have both calcium and magnesium. But what happens when the magnesium disappears is it becomes a fist and it locks up. And anyone who's ever had a Charlie horse knows exactly what we're talking about. So that's one of the main reasons. Second is the heart loses its rhythm. Again, go back to the MKK4 enzyme, stops working. The heart loses its beat. And then the third main reason is heart failure. And there's actually, this is mind-boggling. the world's greatest mineral deficiency or enzyme deficiency is deals with energy production for the heart. And it's known as beriberi disease, and it gets very esoteric. Well, it turns out that what's behind all of this is a very specific enzyme called the glucose 6 phosphatase enzyme that starts the whole process of energy production for the heart. And it can't do that unless thiamine is present in an activated state. And if thiamine or vitamin B1 isn't present, that enzyme doesn't work, energy doesn't get produced, and it has a cascade effect on weakening the heart, and it just can't do its job. Now, again, can you guess what mineral is essential to activate thiamine so that the energy pathway can be created?
That would be magnesium.
Ding, ding, ding. And this is happening all over the heart. And it's like, are you kidding me? And so what I've been in the process of writing a book, and I've identified 21 different heart disease conditions, and every one of them has a magnesium deficiency component. I've identified the enzyme pathway, and I've got 3 to 5 citations for every one of those 21 conditions.
Wow. Wow. While we're talking about that, we keep talking about magnesium. What are some of the forms of magnesium that you recommend? I know that you recommended one for me, and I still take that one, but I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'll let you kind of name those that you recommend.
No, it's important for people to take multiple forms. I mean, I think the key is to start with a good base of minerals, and we've had a lot of success with 2 different forms. There's Anderson Minerals out of Salt Lake City, and there's a new form that we've just been working with out of Australia called C, as an SEA, C mineral. A wonderful, it's got 92 different minerals in it. It's an amazing product. So you got to start with a good base. Then we really like to engage in what's called a full court press and get people to get a good oral. And we've had very good success with both Jigsaw, which is it's a magnesium malate product, very, very bioavailable. It's blended with a number of B vitamins, and it delivers. And the other one that we've had a lot of good success with is Pure Encapsulations Magnesium Glycinate. It's a wonderful product. We also think it's important to there's another one that I would mention is magnesium chloride by I think it's Altura. It's a wonderful product, and I'll make sure I get you the right name so you can post it on your page. But oil is important. Water, we like to see clients have magnesium water. The water that we're drinking is an abomination, but you can get drops, or you can get Carolyn Dean sells a wonderful product called Remag. There's another group out of Columbia, South Carolina, called Complete H2O Minerals, and they have a product called Ultimate Mag, and delivers a very good form of magnesium. Big into transdermal as well. Epsom salts are very popular, but what we found is that probably the most effective way to restore magnesium status is with magnesium chloride baths, either a foot bath or a regular bath. And you take an ounce of the chloride oil, magnesium chloride oil, and go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, can you get too much? Is there a point where you can get too much magnesium?
Yeah, I mean, the switch is if you develop diarrhea, that's the body's way of letting you know you've got too much. And the rule of thumb that we use is 5 times body weight. And so if you weigh 100 pounds, take 500 milligrams. And I recognize that you've got the oral, you've got the transdermal. The body is burning through, an expression that I use is we have a very significant magnesium burn rate in society today because of the hypersympathetic lifestyle that we were talking about earlier, because of the nature of the food that we're eating, the medications that people are on, just the state of frenzied anxiety. And so we really feel it's important to get as much magnesium as your body will tolerate. Now, certainly people who have kidney disease are cautioned because kidneys that have a chronic kidney failure have a hard time processing have a hard time processing magnesium. You have to be very careful about that. But even some of the leading research is indicating that magnesium is helping those patients, but it has to be done under very carefully supervised conditions. But other than that, I think people are pretty safe to focus on this, and they're going to find that what they typically find when they start to work with magnesium is their headaches go away, their constipation goes away, they tend to sleep better, and the little things don't bother them anymore. It'll set you off.
Yeah, I can attest to one of those. I know I used to always have problems sleeping, and I take magnesium pretty regularly now, and it just seems like once my head hits that pillow, I'm ready to go. I drift off into la-la land. So, and plus, it's just... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say that for those who want to understand why you're able to sleep better, Google melatonin pathway and look at the top left-hand image is the actual pathway that shows how we go from tryptophan all the way down to melatonin. And there's magnesium, zinc, B vitamins all throughout that pathway. And that's its job, allowing you to relax so that you can get 8 hours of rest and recovery. And in fact, what the body is doing while you're sleeping is working like a dog to get rid of all the toxins that are all over your body from having lived a normal, active life. But you need that time offline so that the body can clean out the garbage and the debris.
Yeah. I got one more question to ask you, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up here. But I was amazed. I actually was, in preparing for this, I looked at some of your stuff, and I looked at some of Dr. Dean's stuff as well. And I bumped into her article. She was talking about diabetes and magnesium and how important magnesium is when, for a diabetic. Can you go into that? I'm just amazed at that, and I want to understand it a little bit more.
But it's a really key issue. The real focal point for diabetes is insulin resistance. And what is that? It's when we have a meal that has carbohydrates, the body's got to break down the carbohydrates, eventually becomes glucose, and that glucose needs to get inside the cell so that it can be broken down into ATP, which is a unit of energy for the cell. Insulin is the messenger to get the glucose inside, but there's a sentry at the door of the cell, and it's called tyrosine kinase. And tyrosine kinase must be activated with magnesium, ding, ding, ding. And if it's not, it doesn't let insulin in, and it doesn't let the glucose in. And then what happens? The insulin level rises, the glucose level rises, and you got a problem on your hand. Well, the other side of diabetes is because of the lack of magnesium, there's a whole series of enzyme pathways that don't work. And so there's a stage of the carbohydrate metabolism. It's called glycolysis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an element that's the Krebs cycle, and then there's electron transport chain. Well, 7 of the 10 enzymes in glycolysis are magnesium dependent. 4 of the 7 in the Krebs cycle are magnesium dependent. And you can't engage in the electron transport chain, which is where the bulk of the ATP is being made, if magnesium is not shuttling things around properly and activating the mitochondrial enzymes to make that happen. And so the whole issue of diabetes is inability to process sugar. And it's all magnesium dependent, for the vast majority of it is. And again, it's like, who knew? who? You don't read articles that talk about magnesium deficiency as a key issue of diabetes. But I'm sure you've got listeners who know that metabolic syndrome is tied to heart disease. Metabolic syndrome is basically diabetes, high blood pressure. It's obesity, and it's my mind is really playing tricks with me. What's the fourth one? Lipids, blood sugar, cholesterol, and weight. So those are the four components. Well, all four of those components, all four aspects of metabolic syndrome, are born of magnesium deficiency. So it would make sense that the heart disease itself, which is highly correlated with those four conditions, would have a magnesium relationship. But again, this is not something that's openly discussed because there ain't no money in a cure.
Yeah, and you're right.
Very disruptive. Very disruptive.
Yeah, you're right. So many things go back to money, man. If people just follow that trail, they'll figure out so many things.
Absolutely. It's essential to the whole equation.
Yeah. All right, Marty. So thank you for being on Fat Man Radio. I know you said you were coming out with a book. What's the title of the book? And I think do you have a website for the book?
Yeah, well, right now the website is www.mag.org. I'm going to hold off on the title. It's going to deal with heart disease and magnesium. I'm still in the process of trademarking the title. I want to get that done. But it will be a very eye-catching title, and I think people will very quickly understand what's going on. Got a Facebook community that you referred to.
Right.
It's a group. It's a magnesium advocacy group. We've got about 3,600 people banging their gums all around the world, around the splendors of magnesium. And would invite your listeners to join the fray. And anyone who has questions for me can email me at my email is Morley, Morley, at gotmag.org, or free to pick up the phone and give me a call. And my cell phone is area code 847-922-8061. So I've never met a question I didn't enjoy, and I welcome folks that you know and folks that follow you. Feel free to go offline and reach out. I'd be happy to talk to them.
Yeah, when your book comes out, I'd love to have you back on to discuss it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I can't wait, and I'm shooting for it should be completed by the end of the year. And so we'll shoot for something maybe early next year to have a chance to go at it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Morley, for being on. And when your book comes out, I'm certainly looking forward to getting you back on. So thanks again for being on Fat Man Radio.
Okay, Darren. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that is it. If you have questions for Morley, I think Morley laid out a lot of information there. He gave out his personal phone number, so take advantage of that. Next week, next Thursday, I'm going to have Troy Casey on. Troy is the Certified Health Nut. It's a show that you don't want to miss. Troy was actually a model for a very long time, and he went through some issues, and he got himself back healthy, and I'm looking forward to having Troy on the show, and I know it's going to be a great show. So join me next week for Troy Casey, Certified Health Nut, same fat time, same fat channel. Talk to you later. Peace.